Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, where sports betting analytics live. Charles Barkley, that's where it lives. It's Gil Alexander. I stepped on him. I know Jeff. Jeff is so upset with me when I step on him.
You did better. You improved. You were 0 for 2 yesterday. You're 1 for 2 today.
Tomorrow, who knows?
You'll be 1.5 for 2
somehow.
Maybe
1 and some change. That's right. Todd Wishnev is here, producer number 5. Jeff Parlay is here. Todd, could you tell everybody how you pronounce Roberto Bautista Gut off air? How you pronounce the name?
How did I? Roberto, what did I say?
What did he say? What did he say, Jeff?
Bautista Agut?
Oh, no. Yeah, I thought it was worse than that. Bautista Agut.
Yeah, that was it, actually. Yeah. Bautista Agut.
I don't know these names. I'm sorry.
So American. So geocentric. Let's talk football, ladies and gentlemen, with the host of Lombardi Line here at VSiN Weekends, Saturday, Sunday morning, co-hosted by Patrick Maher and Matt Eumanns, respectively. He also writes for The Athletic, has his own podcast called The GM Shuffle with Adnan Virk. He is everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. He is Michael Lombardi. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you, Gil?
I'm doing very well, man. Do we have one more day where I get to talk about Andrew Luck? Is it still kosher today?
You know, I'm assuming that the Colts have moved on, but I'm sure most of America is going to keep talking about this as it's taken everybody by surprise. But, you know, life goes on. I mean, look, he made a decision. I actually applaud him for what he did. He could have been half in. You know, he could have been half in, and then it wouldn't have been very good, and he decided to go all out. And I think that's the right thing. You're either – the worst thing in sports is maybe. You know, you can't maybe in, you maybe out. You know, Hamlet never won a game, you know, to be or not to be. So I think this is the better thing.
I said yesterday, you can't half-ass football. That's for sure, right? You can't, though, of all the sports, that's the one you certainly can't. But just for giggles, though, here, Michael, before we get off Andrew Luck, when do you think he really or they really, the Colts, really knew about this? Like, do you really believe that the retirement just cropped up in the last 2 weeks? And do you feel like that the fans, because I made this point yesterday, I am all for Andrew Luck not playing football. No one should impose their judgments and their biases on a guy who has decided that this is what's best for him in his life. Good for him. He shouldn't play. However, I kind of get those fans booing yesterday, and I did a whole thing on it yesterday because I understand that they feel a little hoodwinked by it. Do you sort of get that? Obviously, you don't want to, you know, if it's a week from now or today when they have some time to think about it, you're not going to figuratively boo a guy like Andrew Luck. But in the moment when they realize, oh my God, our season is over, I kind of get it.
Well, I think this. I think when you watched him work out before the preseason game, and we did it on a Saturday, I think, on our show, and you saw him, and it didn't look like he was that bad. And I think the word around the building was, you know, the word that I got around the building was that, you know, this is a lot in his head. Now, what happens is we as executives don't realize the pain that a player has in his body. The doctor may clear you, but he still has pain. And so for us, we sit in our cushy offices and say, well, you know, he should be ready to go. You know, he's been cleared, but he's in pain, you know, and that pain level, we don't understand or appreciate. The player does. And that's always something that kind of lingers in your mind. When a guy feels this much pain in July, in August, you know, pain is something that most players have. All of them have in April. All of them have in March. But when you feel it in August and you know you have to climb this huge mountain, it's probably not going to work out. And he did the right thing.
And we still don't know what caused it, Michael. That's the other thing, right? We still have no explanation.
I think Ryan Grigson caused it. I think Ryan Grigson caused it. I think there's no doubt. I think
that's probably
the
true
fact that their inability to want to protect the quarterback, the fact he took too many hits, you know, I mean, all those reasons why. You know, look, this kid was, he was supposed to be the next John Elway coming out. I mean, go back and talk about, you know, how great he was and all that. And, you know, look, I think he's a wonderful quarterback, but like I've said before, he's had a lot of throws that I'm sure he'd like to have back. He did turn the ball over. I used to keep a reel to try to keep things in perspective where everybody talked about how great he was, where if you just watched a reel of balls that were dropped that he threw into coverage and made mistakes,
you
would have been surprised.
Yes. There's a baseball term that I like to apply to football because I talk about this with Kirk Cousins when he was with the Redskins a lot. There's a term called BABIP in baseball, which is batting average on balls in play. But basically, it's a metric of whether you have been fortunate or not once balls go into play. And I will say that about Cousins, and Andrew Luck applies as well. They were so fortunate so many times, right, with like balls that were dropped by defenders.
No doubt. And I think, you know, this doesn't take away from being a really good player and having the potential to win a lot of games, to win. And he did. And he took his team to, you know, but let's be honest. I mean, you know, the 14 championship game against New England wasn't even close. You know, that was like 49-14. I mean, these games, the further they've gotten the playoffs, they haven't been able to match to the level partly because their defense and their team. So it's not all on him, but the reality of it is the John Elway comparisons coming out, I don't think were ever fair.
What about the performance in the playoffs this past postseason against KC? That wasn't actually a tour de force either, was it?
No, you know, and I mean, look, we have this, it's called confirmation bias. We have this belief that he is this, and we just confirm it with what we don't see, and it's the best. But, you know, and that's where I think gamblers, you know, that's a bad term. I think people that invest in the NFL, that make a living doing this, and we see it, and you know it as well as anybody, that you can't have confirmation bias.
Right.
You've got to be completely objective each and every single week, and you can't allow last week's to bias you into the next week, or else you're going to make tremendous mistakes.
I agree wholeheartedly. We're talking to Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive, at M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. And a big star at this network. We love having him here, not only Saturdays and Sundays for his own show, Lombardi Lines, but is it The Lombardi Line it's The Lombardi Line, right? Is that what we're calling it? The Lombardi Line.
I think The is in there, yes.
Yes, okay.
I just want to be clear.
Last thing about Andrew Luck. Do you think Nick Foles might have signed, given his relationship with Frank Reich from their days in Philly, do you think, had they known this earlier, that maybe Nick Foles ends up in Indianapolis if this was announced earlier in the offseason?
I think that's probably fair to say, yeah. I think that's right. You know, because I think Nick Foles really liked Frank Reich. Look, the one thing Frank Reich does have, he's a mastermind on third down. When he was in Philadelphia, the Eagles were seventh in the National Football League and having the most third and sevens in all of football the year they won the Super Bowl. And they converted at an unbelievable rate. Third and seven, typically, according to what people say on television, is the bad down. You can't convert that. And most teams in the NFL, below 30% doing it. But the Eagles were sensational, and they converted it. Carson Wentz did, and then Nick Foles did in the playoff game. Look at the first drive of the Eagles Super Bowl against the Patriots. They have a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11. They convert both of them on that drive and score. They have a unique ability. Frank Reich has a unique ability to call plays and put the team in the right situation on third down. Their third down last year in Indianapolis was spectacular. It was the best of the best, and he did it through Andrew Luck. He needs to be able to do it now with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, and someone asked me on Twitter yesterday, they were like, well, give me some other examples of players retiring in the offseason, and immediately off the top of the dome, I was like, Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, Robert Smith, even John Riggins when he took a year off back in the day, they all did so. They all made that announcement way earlier in the offseason, and so all I'm saying is I kind of sympathize. I do sympathize with Colts fans, and I think they got a bad rap.
But I do think this, though, Gil. I think that you had to give him the time to see if his body was going to respond.
Yeah.
You know, he could have made the decision in March, and then he would have regretted it. I mean, he went all the way through. You know, and if they would have tried to sign Nick Foles at $80 million, and they have the cap room, certainly they do, they could have done it. But it just would have caused too much consternation, and I think that this is just how it had to play out. I'm not sure there was another way it would have gone.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, but then it's the point you brought up, right? Not to belabor this anymore, but it's the point you brought up. It's like, he looked great. Frank Reich just said he was progressing. Andrew Luck told reporters he felt fine, and then just sort of blindside. And so that's why I think it kind of caught the fan base off base. You made some, segueing from Andrew Luck now, you made some news this weekend, did you not? Because you had some Jadeveon Clowney comments where you say he's as good as traded, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think there's no doubt he's going to get traded. I think even John McCain, the beat writer for the Houston Texans, he said the same thing. I mean, look, last week there was a team went and spent time with Clowney. I don't know exactly what team it was, but they did their due diligence. Clowney has to sign the tender. He's not signed. He would be traded by now, I believe, once he signed that tender. And I think he wants to control where he goes via the sign before he signs.
Jadeveon Clowney for Tyreek Hill. Who says no? Go.
Oh, there's no way the Chiefs would do that. I don't think that the Chiefs are too concerned about their offense and scoring points. I can't imagine that they would trade Tyreek Hill, because if you trade Tyreek Hill to another city, are you going to extend this contract? You don't even know half the – I mean, we only know maybe a third of what's going on behind the scenes in Kansas City. I think the only team that could ever – and if they want to trade him, they know a hell of a lot more than you do. Your red flags have to go up. It's a little bit like – I wish the 76ers would have this mentality. But if Danny Ainge wants to trade you the first pick of the draft and he's willing to trade it to the 76ers, there should be like 9 alarms going off in your building. Yeah, like, no. He's not trying to make us better.
No, that's a great point. The only reason I say that is because the Chiefs have this kid from Georgia, right? Hardman, who is a speedster. You get rid of the Tyreek Hill PR issue if you feel that it's still one, right? Tyreek Hill is cleared. Let me be clear about that.
But Houston's on a cleansing program. Houston wants they're changing the kind of players that they want in their building. And I think part of that is why Clowney's going out of their building. I can't imagine them wanting to take Hill into their building.
Okay. Well, fair enough. One of my favorite Lombardiisms, Michael, is you say bad lines don't travel. I love that. Because it's not something we often talk about, and certainly mainstream doesn't talk about it either. Bad lines don't travel. If I could ask you now, give me the 5 best offensive lines that just leap to mind right now for you in the NFL heading into the season, who would they be?
Well, look, New England could lose David Andrews for the season. They were being one of the top 5 offensive lines in football, even with Isaiah Wynn at left tackle, losing Trent Brown. Isaiah Wynn has played pretty good this summer. Their offensive line with Marcus Cannon at right guard and Shaq Mason at right tackle and Shaq Mason at right guard are really good, and Joe Tooney at left tackle. I think their depth got a little bit depleted because of it. They'll need to find some depth. You know, when I think you look at the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, I think that's a really good offensive line in terms of where they have. They have depth and they have talent. There's no doubt. The Cowboys have depth and talent. I think with getting Frederick back this year makes them even better. So those 3, Indianapolis's offensive line led the league last year in only allowing 18 sacks. You know, do I think Brandon Smith's a Pro Bowler at right tackle? I'm not sure, but they've played pretty well with Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly and all the boys and Anthony Costanzo. They got rid of the football. I think they certainly helped them there. You know, those are the teams that jump off the top of my head that put assets into their line. Look, the Colts have a 1 in Costanzo. They didn't draft him. They got a 1 in Nelson, a 1 in Kelly, and they've got Brandon Smith, who's a 2, and Mark Gronkowski, their starting right guard. They picked up off the Seattle waiver wire, and he's been a really nice addition to their team.
You bring up the Patriots, and you bring up specifically David Andrews, who, as you wrote for The Athletic first reported, blood clots in the lungs. That's the Patriots center. Perhaps out for the season, we don't know. He was released from the hospital last night. How huge is that, if that in fact happens, that he misses the season?
You know, well, it's, you know, look, the one thing about New England is there's no play. They'll just keep going on. Now, what will they do? Will they put Ted Karras in there? James Ferentz, the son of Kirk Ferentz, the coach at Iowa, has been a backup center there for a long time. He knows the system. Did they find somebody out on the open market? You know, I think certainly if David misses any time, Ted Karras is a smart player, the nephew of Alec Karras, the great Detroit Lion player. He's smart. He's tough. He's not as athletic as David Andrews. There would be something missing, but they could get by with it.
All right. So let me ask you this question. I'm looking at all the best bets that are available in the universe. And sometimes we make this thing more complicated than it needs to be because we want to be smart and we want to look smart. And we like, oh, I like this team to win this division. I think they're a great bet. But really, is there a better bet currently available than the Patriots to win the AFC East? And I'm talking with Andrews, without Andrews, because what would have to happen for either Miami, the Jets, or Buffalo to win this division. In fact, let me put it this way to you. If Tom Brady tomorrow said, you know what, I'm not playing this year, aren't the Patriots still the favorite to win that division?
Yeah, because I don't think people realize how good they are on defense. Now, I say that based on this has been a while since they've been this kind of team. Every year I've complained about their defense repeatedly for being too slow. And last year they were. But this year, I mean, you know, they signed Mike Parnell. They give him money. They think he's going to be a run stuffer. And all of a sudden they draft this Brian Cowart from Maryland, and he comes in and plays. Chase Vinovich, the kid that they drafted from Michigan, has been a nice addition to their team. This is a really good defensive front. I mean, with Michael Bennett, who Belichick will put on the opponent's worst offensive lineman, with Hightower and Jamie Collins coming in and playing at a high level, getting Bentley back off the injury from last year, this is a really good team, and they can cover. Gil, they can cover in the back end. J.C. Jackson's not even the starter. He played very well for them last year. They're going to cut an off a corner that'll be on another team. They will cut defensive players in the next 10 days that'll be on other people's teams because they're really good on defense. And I think the way they'll play complementary football leads me to believe that regardless of what happens offensively, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and they're around minus 475 in that neighborhood to win the division. At Circus Sports, it's minus 475 to win the division. And so if you can get that number, you're really betting against a spate of injuries. I think that's the best bet in all of sports right now, quite frankly. Last thing here, Michael, because I want to get to this. Last year at this time, we were talking about roughing the passer penalties and whether, you know, the referees, whether officials calling this literally during the preseason would spill over into the regular season. And in fact, it did. If you remember, there was a point there early in the season last year where we were like, this is threatening the enjoyment of the sport, period. The Clay Matthews roughing the passing penalty in Washington is sort of the poster child of it. But it was just this horrible scourge on the NFL. And then overnight they decided, all right, we're not calling it literally anymore. Now we have the holding penalties here in the preseason. Do you think it persists once the regular season begins? Or do you think they're just making a point here in the preseason?
You know, I think September is always about making their point more. I think it takes some time to get the mean back to normal, and that's what concerns me. I think that's where I think this is going, and I think it's going to take some time to do that. And if we go into September and they keep calling the way they've been calling this summer, it's not going to be fun television in September, and there's going to be a lot of people complaining about it.
And I wonder if the corollary to that, I wonder then if teams like, I don't know, let's bring up the Redskins, right, who the casual fan can't name one receiver on the roster, and it's a Adrian Peterson, perhaps Darius Geis-led offense, they're almost even further behind the eight ball because you're more likely to get holding calls, right, on a running-first offense. So I think it's even worse for them.
I would tell the offensive coordinator, look, I don't want to see first and 10 runs. I just don't want to see first and 10 runs. The way they've called it this summer, it's been ridiculous. And if I get first and 10 run, I might as well be first and 20. You know, I want to get the ball out quick. Look, the 12 most important plays in all of football are drive starters. When you start a drive, if you can make a 20-yard play down the field, this is where the Rams have been so successful. If you can make a 20-yard play down the field, your chances of scoring go way up. If you run the lead off tackle like the clapper likes to do in Dallas, you know, you got a good chance to get holding and you're probably going to get a good chance to punt. You got to take strikes on those 12 plays you get and you got to make the most of them.
He is the host of the Lombardi Line. He's the best. Michael Lombardi, at M Lombardi NFL on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL. The Lombardi Line, Saturday and Sunday mornings, all through football season and beyond. Patrick Maher with him on Saturdays, Matt Eumanns on Sunday. Michael, also with The Athletic, and the GM Shuffle with Adnan Virk, wherever podcasts are distributed. You having a good time with that as well?
I love it. You know, I got all my movies caught up to date. I mean, we're having a blast. And every Wednesday, we get to watch John Gruden. We've got a little bit of Brett Musburger.
That's right.
On Hard Knocks. Who doesn't like it? I mean, it's awesome. It's the best.
Is the final episode tonight of Hard Knocks, guys? Is that tonight?
I think it's got to be.
Yeah.
They're not going to show them cutting players. I mean, I give the Raiders credit. They went into this thing with a plan in terms of what they were willing to show America. And, you know, I think they should have shown more, should have declared what their plan is. What I love is we don't say anything about this at all. You know, the Mike Mayock comes out and says, you know, we want character. That's why we drafted Colin Farrell in the first round. And then they turn around and they sign Porter Legit, who just got arrested. They sign Richie Incognito. I mean, there's so many different perspectives coming out. I wish they would just say, look, we're just going to take the best player we think and forget about trying to categorize it.
Yeah, I think it's the fourth episode tonight, and I do think there's one more next week, actually. I do, so we'll still enjoy that. Michael, appreciate the time, as always, man.
Thank you.
We'll do it every Tuesday of the regular season.
Thank you.
Michael Lombardi, ladies and gentlemen, from New Jersey. That's where he is right now, at M. Lombardi NFL. You enjoy Mr. Lombardi's?
Yes, and the other team, he mentioned the clapper going off tackle. The other team that makes you want to pull your hair out with that kind of play calling is the Houston Texans under the Bill O'Brien regime.
You don't like shotguns from first and goal at the one or fourth and goal at the one?
There's nothing more aggravating than having a Texan team and you're down inside the red zone. You want to kill yourself.
We must have spent... game minutes here on the show, maybe if you added them all together, at least 2 hours last year when you combine all the time on just eviscerating Bill O'Brien's calls. Because there were multiple games where he did stuff for the Texans.
He makes you want to just die if you're on his team, you know, you're betting on his side and you're just like, you just want to go crazy. You're just like, I can't believe this is happening.
I'm trying to remember offhand, Jeff, you have better recall on this stuff, but I want to say there was consecutive overtime games. They might not have been consecutive, but one where they went for it
I can make this very easily for you. It was week 4, week 5 last year. It was Indianapolis and then Dallas back to back.
Yeah.
You had the Frank Reich decision against Houston going for it on 4th-and-4 in overtime. Didn't convert. Houston kicks a field goal. Avoid starting 0-4, I believe. And then the following week, it was the clapper punting on 4th-and-1 at the 37.
Yes.
And then Houston came down and kicked the field goal.
So we spent hours on that.
But that was, I believe, the same game that Houston was inside the 5, like maybe a half a million times.
Right. Todd, that game was the worst red zone offense of the entire season by both teams.
The most frustrating betting experience you'll ever go through.
Yeah.
It was. So we have that to look forward to. Again, your outrage in August, unsustainable. Just want to point that out.
Well, we'll see about
Let's meet out the outrage. Coming back, baseball. We'll do the rest of the slate right here at VSiN.
Keep it right here for more of A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. VSiN last week. Here's some of what you missed.
You know, I became a big Clemson fan along with Georgia. And, you know, being in SEC with Alabama and Georgia, and Georgia got a great team. And now,
a Gamecock, I just hate you right now. You're a Georgia guy and you're a fan of Clemson. You're killing me.
And what's interesting is because Justin Fields goes to Ohio, you know, I became a sort of like an Ohio State fan as well.
Okay, so nothing wrong with that, yeah.
And I put something out that people thought I was crazy when I said this, and I said, guys, you know, I do not think Justin Fields could have taken Fromm's position. I think Fromm has earned that position. He's the quarterback. He's the leader of the Georgia Bulldogs. But I think Justin Fields going to Ohio would make him a Heisman candidate this year. And people said, why you say that? I think he's on an incredible, incredible team. The guy's got some incredible talent.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.